you showing up now.
God bless you.
That God wanna bless you.
God bless you.
How many really know that God wanna bless you?
God bless you.
Well, just tell yourself.
God.
Don't bother nobody else. Go on
God
and tell yourself.
You.
Say God.
God bless you.
Got a blessing for you.
Is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1.
I've tried everything that I could in my life for this world.
Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
And welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Adultery. But they left something out. Because the law they were quoting was in Deuteronomy 22 and 22. Says that both the man and the woman should be stoned to death. And see, what some folk do, they want to come and tell you half the story and not the whole story. And so Jesus wasn't hearing it. He knew it was a trap. He knew they was trying to set him up. Because let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, this text was not about the woman. They was trying to use the woman to set Christ up. And see, when you're doing the work of God, the devil is always going to try to set you up. Don't you dare think that he's sitting back and just going to let you walk in your purpose. He's just not going to let you walk in the will of God. He's going to try to set you up. And can I be real about it? Sometimes we fall. Come on, let's be real. He set us up, and sometimes we fall. But I thanks be to God that there is forgiveness, and there is no condemnation when he forgives. So when you come before Jesus, you can't tell him half the story. You got to tell him the whole story. But watch this. Verses 6 to 8, you will discover that Jesus just wrote on the ground. And as they were calling out her sins, theologians speculate that Jesus was writing it in the sand. The Ten Commandments was written in stone. That means that they cannot be done away with. You cannot wash them off. You cannot blow them off. Because it's written in stone. But Jesus writes her sin in the sand. That when a wind comes, it will blow her sin. Oh, y'all don't get what I'm saying. Aren't you glad that when Satan brings our sins up to Jesus, he don't write it in stone? He just writes it in sand. And he just, and just blows our sin away. Watch this. He wrote in the ground, and as they kept on pushing him and pushing him and pushing him, Jesus says in verse 7, as they continue asking him and kept asking him, what shall we do in this matter? You the rabbi, you the big chief here. You pulling the people from the church, they coming out to hear you. So what, now tell us what you think. Jesus says simply in verse 7, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. The jokers start remembering what they did a few nights ago. They start remembering how they played on last night. And so watch this. Look what happened. You might have missed this in the text. When he said this, again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. He got up. He said, since you want to hear from me, ye without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And Jesus went back to what he was doing. And while he was writing on the ground, theologians believe that the first time he wrote, he was writing the adultery of the woman. But the second time he wrote, he started writing their sins on the ground. Watch this. And they which heard it, verse 9, this is where I want to get you, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the elders first. That means the older ones had to walk away first. They done more sin than anybody. They done more wrong than anybody. And so they was more convicted than the younger. The elders had to walk away first. And just because you're an elder don't mean you are without sin. You still live in this body. You think wrong. You do wrong. But aren't you glad to know that we serve a God who's forgiving? How many can just praise God for his forgiveness? It makes no difference how many times I've done it. He still forgives me. Make no difference how many times I did this and did it. He still forgives me. And that's the way, and that's the reason why I praise God the way I praise him. Because when I walk in the sanctuary on Sunday morning, I stand under the umbrella of God's forgiveness. I don't even deserve to be here. I don't even really need to be here. I don't deserve to be standing behind this sacred desk. You don't deserve to be singing in the choir. You don't even deserve to be sitting in the pew. But just because he forgave you and grace brought you this far is enough for you to say thank you, Jesus. All right, here's the text. They were convicted in their own hearts. Write this down. Number one, there's no condemnation and forgiveness. Number one, you got to come to the fact to believe that we are all guilty. Each and every one of us are guilty. Matthew 7, 3 and 5 says, and why considerest the mote that is in thy brother's eye, when thou considerest not the beam that's in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of your eye, when you have a beam in your own eye? See, when you have enough trouble in your own life, and you know you have it. See what kills me, Reverend Dearborn? People already know they've been doing wrong. Nobody have to remind you. You already know. And see, if you got all of that wrongdoing in your life, I'll be scared to point out somebody else's sin. Because the more I point theirs out, God will eventually allow mine to come out. You cannot pull out of the eye of the brother when you got it in your own eye. What that means is that we all are guilty. Now watch this. When you get to the realm to know that we all are guilty, then you will be more compassionate about somebody's sin that has been exposed. See, when somebody's sin get exposed, what's the first thing we do? I knew it. I told y'all. But then you got to understand, God knows some stuff on you too. God has some stuff on you too. And the only difference between a person's sins that's been exposed is that yours may be still hidden. So it makes us no better. But thanks be to God, even though we're all guilty, when we accept Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation for the sin that we have committed. Jesus is the only one. Number two, he is the only one that is qualified to condemn. Watch, when everybody walked away, Jesus now, he looks at the woman and he says to her, he lifts up himself, he says, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Where are they?" Now watch, you missed the text. When they first brought her, Jesus never said nothing to her, because he wanted to talk to the ones who was trying to expose her. And while they were trying to expose her, Jesus exposed them. And see, once they walked away, then Jesus says, "Now, sister, lift up your head." Now, watch, you just missed it. She was guilty. The evidence was stacked up against her. But Jesus wasn't concerned about the evidence that was presented, because he was present at the presentation of her evidence. And so everything they presented, Jesus forgave her for it and said, "Since I have forgiven you, they can't condemn you, and neither will I." The only one that's qualified to condemn you is the one writing on the ground. And neither have I condemned you. So y'all just missed it. It don't make no difference what folk think of you, what folks say about you, how they put your name out on the straightway and the byway. If Christ has forgiven you, therefore now is no condemnation. He said, "Where are they?" Watch this, y'all. They walked away without the woman saying one word. Sometimes, quit trying to defend yourself. Quit trying to explain to people why you do what you do. They don't have no heaven and hell to put you in. They didn't die on no cross for you, and wouldn't even die for you right now. So why you feel you got to keep running up behind somebody who don't want to have nothing to do with you to try to prove to them that you should be in their circle? God's been too good to you for you to be running up behind folk who don't mean you no good. Jesus says they walked away. They were trying to condemn you. They were trying to set you up. But now they have walked away, and neither will I condemn you. Watch this. Romans 8 and 34 says this: "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of the Father." He's making intercessions for us. You just miss your praise cue. The only one that is qualified to condemn us is the one who sits on the right hand making intercessions for us. Instead of condemning us, he is praying for us. Instead of destroying you, he is talking on your behalf. Oh, let me tell you what, maybe you're going to miss your praise too, but let me tell you what Jesus is doing. Every time you fall short, the book of Revelation says that the devil goes before God and he accuses us day and night. But watch, as he is accusing us, Jesus is on the right hand of the Father defending us. Every time he bring up a sin, Jesus said, "Oh yeah, I seen it, but I washed it." Every time he bring up the date you sinned, Jesus said, yeah, that's the right date, but I washed it. Every time he bring up the act that you sin, Jesus said, yeah, they did it, but I washed it. Is there anybody glad to know you've been washed? Anybody glad to know you've been washed? Let me say it again. You see, to admit you've been washed, you have to first admit you've been dirty. That's why a lot of people don't want to say I've been clean, because you're admitting that I've been dirty. But I'm not ashamed to admit that I've been washed. And see, I'm not like you. Some people, you just want Jesus to tap you. I don't want him to tap me. I want him to scrub me. I want him to wash me from head to toe. Just as he's doing in the text, he was making intercessions for this woman. The evidence was there. The proof was there. But Jesus made intercessions for her. Then watch this, what he says. He says, neither, verse 11, he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, this is where a lot of people have misinterpreted the scripture. When Jesus says, go and sin no more, we have thought that to mean that this person is to never sin again. Don't you know, in the flesh, that is impossible? Look at you super saved saints. Not for me, it is not. Well, you just sinned because you just lied. But why is it impossible? Because the flesh is imitate against God. Imitate means against. No matter how much you love God in your heart, your flesh will always have a desire to sin. Let me prove it to you. Let me prove all you Holy Ghost saints, police, put your badges in there. Because I'm finna put you on suspension. Romans 8:1 says this, when I text, there is therefore now no condemnation. Watch this. To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after what? But after what? Now watch this. There are gonna be times you're going to find yourself walking after the flesh. Everybody that stepped on your toe, you didn't bless them in Jesus' name. You come on, be real. It ain't communion Sunday today. You blessed them, but it wasn't in Jesus' name. Come on, can I get real with you? Come on, let's get real with it. When that supervisor was on the verge of pushing you to the lever, you told him or her something, and it wasn't in Jesus' name. And if you didn't say nothing, you might was the supervisor about to get cussed out. Look how you quiet you done got. But watch this. Watch how the Spirit works with you. When that happens, the Spirit of God then convicts you. And then you sit back and say, I can't believe what I just did. And see, look at Mount Zion. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because that's evidence is that the Holy Spirit, he's still working with you. Have you ever been done wrong by somebody and you went to them to say, I'm sorry, just to bring peace? It wasn't you. It was the Spirit of God that was within you. See, I know you ain't gonna clap too much on that. Because now for me to get what God's got for me, I've got to go back and straighten out the mess that I didn't even start. You want me to give you some proof that you've been born again? Sometimes you need evidence that you've been saved. When you go to somebody and you didn't do wrong, they did it to you. But you go to them anyway to say, I'm sorry. And then they turn around and tell you, I knew you were gonna come. Don't it take everything in your power? Come on, come on, go, shout, shout. You were shouting a minute ago. Shout with me now. Don't it take everything in your power to keep your mouth closed? You can do it, all things through Christ who strengthen you. Jesus says now, get up, woman. Pick your head up. It makes no difference what you were before you met me. Since you met me, there's going to be a change in your life. You came to me as an adulteress, but you're leaving me saved. How many say, since I met Jesus, my life have not been the same. I haven't been perfect always, but I've been better in my bitterness since I met Jesus. Here come your praise cue, and we're going to get out of here. Here it is right here in the text. Jesus says now, neither do I condemn ye. Verse 11, he said, go ahead on, sister. Sin no more. Not only we got to realize that we're all guilty. Jesus is the only one qualified to condemn but not. But then we need to praise God because we've been given another chance. Let me say it again. It didn't stir up good in the gumbo. You need to praise God because you've been given another chance. Now, some of you say a second chance, but see, I blew that. Let me say, I blew that a long time ago. Matter of fact, I blew that right after I met Christ. I blew that second chance. But I thank God for another chance. Every day is a new day of mercy. Come on, I thank God for another chance. How many of you just thanking God that he's giving you another chance? He's giving you another opportunity. He's giving you another Sunday to praise him. He's giving you another Sunday to say hallelujah. He's giving you another Sunday to say thank you. He's giving me another chance. There's no condemnation in forgiveness. For condemn means to express complete disapproval. To sentence someone to punishment or to death. Romans 6:23 says, but the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's it in a nutshell, Mount Zion, right there. Just to know you've been forgiven. The penalty of death is no longer on you. I was watching a movie the other night. But a man was sentenced to life in prison. No possibility of parole. But he had done so well in prison. He had educated so many people in prison. He had helped so many young men get an education in prison that the parole board wanted to show him mercy. And he went before the parole board after 60 years of spending in prison. He went in a young man, but he came out an old man. And he said, when he got out of prison, he says, Lord, I thank you, I'm free. But if it wasn't for the penitentiary, I might have been dead already, sleeping in my grave. But the penitentiary saved my life. Sometimes we find ourselves locked up in trouble. We find ourselves locked up in despair. But he's not there because God don't love you. He is just trying to save your life. I'm not ashamed to tell you. I love my big brother. And I'm going to love my big brother to the day he called one of us home. I hate the way he wasted his life. I hate the way that he gave up on a lot of things. But he's in prison right now. I'm not ashamed to tell you, Mount Zion. Don't look at me like that. You got people in your family messed up too. He's in jail right now. But while he's in jail, he met a man named Jesus. You didn't get what I'm saying? If he'd have still been free, he'd have still been on crack cocaine. He'd have still been breaking in somebody's car. But since he's been in jail, he met a man named Jesus. And he told me and mama, he said, when I used to be in jail, y'all would send me money. Y'all would take care of me. He said, but don't send me nothing now. He said, the Lord's going to give me everything I need. And see, that's why I want to encourage somebody. A loved one may have somebody in jail, but praise God anyway, because that's God's way of saving them. And there's no condemnation even in the jailhouse, because God's got forgiving power. Is there anybody here believe that the Lord can save you? The wages of sin is death. There's a penalty that must be paid. But can I tell you, you're bought with a price. Honor the Lord in your body. What that mean is, since you know you're bought and prayed for, then you need to tell the Lord, thank you for saving an old sinner like me. You know the songwriter said, I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No longer bound, no chains holding me. My soul is resting in such a blessing. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'm free. Is there anybody here can praise God for forgiveness? He forgiven of your sins. He looked past your faults and he saw your needs. And since I'm free, I'm no longer bound. If I feel like running, there's no shackles on my feet. If I feel like waving my hand, there's no shackles on my hand. If I feel like shouting out, hallelujah, there's no muzzle on my mouth. Ain't God all right? Do you know he's all right? Tell somebody it's good to be free. Tell somebody I've been forgiven. There's no condemnation. Makes me want to shout when nothing is wrong. Make me want to run when nobody's behind me. Make me want to cry when nothing is wrong. Ain't he all right? He died upon a rugged cross. He died to save lost. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Ain't you glad that the Lord got up? Be not dismayed, whatever be tried, God will. Ain't he all right? Tell your neighbor, God will. Ah, God will. Ain't he good? Say yes. Ain't he good? Say yes. Say yes. Y'all forgive me, but I feel all right. Preacher, why you feel all right? I've been forgiven. There's no more condemnation in my life. And if you feel the way I feel, if the Lord's been good to you, can you just say thank you for saving my soul? Can you say thank you for healing my body? Can you just say thank you for putting a smile on my face? Ain't it all right? There's no condemnation in forgiveness. I've had some good times.